Hello, I'm Tom Edwards, and you're listening to Tall Stories, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Once central to establishing Munich as a city, the Isar became sadly neglected. Our correspondent, Yannick Schmidt, tells us how a revamp of the river is now adding a new dimension to Munich's quality of life.
It took me a while to wake up to the beauty of the Isar, as it did for many of my fellow Münchner. Of course, I studied it at school. My teacher taught us about its importance in the city's development. Munich's first official mention, in 1158, was after a bridge was built over its waters to facilitate the salt trade. Later, it became Munich's lifeline. However, rather than attracting industry like other major waterways, it helped bring timber, rock, and cheese down from the Alps. These goods were distributed via a system of canals and creeks, the same ones that helped fill moats along the city walls, deliver fresh water, and drive sawmills, flour mills, and eventually turbines for electricity. As recently as 150 years ago, 10,000 rafts arrived each year to use the 295-kilometer grid of waterways. That's a network three times bigger than that of Amsterdam's canals. Then the Isar suffered the same fate as Sleeping Beauty. It fell into a 100-year slumber. Sewage muddied the water, trains replaced the rafts, and the riverbanks were fortified to protect against floods and free up building ground. Even the ordinary rafts that had ferried people from Munich to Vienna since 1623 ceased operations. Within the city, many of the creeks disappeared, moved underground or were drained to make space for streets and later the metro. It seemed the story of the Isar ended with industrialization. But then, in the year 2000, local authorities launched the 35 million euro Isar plan, based on a concept called Renaturierung. Over the next 11 years, the government dismantled the walls of the canals, widened the riverbed, and planted shrubs, trees, and flowers along the flattened banks. Into the water, they inserted deadwood, rocks, and even an islet, Weideninsel or Willow Island. These additions formed terraces, cascades, and small basins to generate a more dynamic ebb and flow. In just over a decade, excavators shifted almost 2 million tons of soil, more than the weight of all the city's cars and buses, to create an inner-city paradise. While Berlin, Hamburg, Cologne and Frankfurt all discouraged or even banned swimming in their rivers, Munich facilitated it, making riverbanks accessible and publishing water quality results. These efforts have encouraged the return of species such as the Danube salmon. Sunbathers and more nocturnal party animals also throng to the river in droves. By day, thousands float down the water on rafts or inflatable boats, often with a dinghy attached to the all-important beer. Surfers come for the standing waves in this urban surf spot, and party areas such as Flauche, dubbed the Isar Riviera, often have a summer festival atmosphere. However, this Flauche revelry has become a point of contention. The director of Munich's neighboring zoo warned that the nightly merrymaking was so unsettling to his animals that the moose and the goats were behaving strangely and neglecting their offspring. Similarly, drifting smoke from barbecues spurred the giraffes to attempt to flee a perceived bushfire, or so it is rumored. The city council is now turning its attention to the revival of Isar's branches, the so-called Bäche. Some have already been brought back to the surface, and local newspapers endearingly dream of a little Venice in Bavaria. More pragmatically, the municipal utility company, SWM, has found another use for the fresh mountain water, piping it past shopping centers, offices, and BMW's central labs to power their air conditioning. This takes Munich another step towards an ambitious goal. By 2025, it aims to be the first city to produce sufficient renewable energy to cover its entire demand for electricity. So when our children learn about how Munich became an even greener city, the Isar will definitely deserve its own chapter.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Yannick Smith for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Tom Edwards. Goodbye, and thanks for listening, city lovers.